And I get these emails all the time that says, you know, there's 10,000 people praying for this person. Pray for them. Hey, you only need, how many does it need to pray? One. That's all you need. In faith, after sins repented. Is that right? That's all it takes. It don't take 10,000. Once they get their sin repented of and you build their faith, you find out what their sin is, then all you got to do is just call upon the name of the Lord for that person, and you can get that person set free, and you can get your answer when you come to the Lord in faith, right? Sure, that's all it takes. So, am I suggesting the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. But sin, verse 8, but sin took advantage of this law, and it aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Now, what does he mean when he says that? Let's say, for instance, if you were a habitual liar, and you just loved to tell lies, but there was no law against lying, could you possibly come under conviction for telling a lie? No. Not at all. There's no law against it. So yeah, it's a lie. So what's a big deal, you know? I mean, I'd rather tell you this than tell you the truth. I might get in trouble if I tell you the truth, so I'm going to tell you a lie, you know. But when I find out that God hates that, now then, that the whenever I sin, there's something in me say, hey, you sinned. You know, you've done this. But sin took advantage of this law and aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Let's go to the next two verses. I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? If there was no speed limit out there, and some of you drive like that anyway. You know, some of you are so dead, you can drive 70 or 80 miles an hour out there on the freeway, and your excuse is, well, I'm just going with the flow. But when you get stopped and you get a ticket, then you have no grounds to fuss, right? But do you fuss? Of course. You know, I mean, isn't that normal? So what did you have to do to not get the speeding ticket? Obey the law, sure. It says, but I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded, but when I learned the truth, and the truth what set us free, I realized I had broken the law and I was a sinner and I was doomed to die. Because does sin bring forth death? Yeah, if you learn that lying, God doesn't like lying, slowly but surely your lying will open the door to the demonic world. The demons will begin to come in and begin to cut away your life. Now, how long may it take them to kill you? It depends on how much lying you do. It may take them 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years to kill you. But if you're really a habitual liar, you might be dead in 5 years. You know, you just don't know. You know, people don't understand this principle. They don't believe what he says when he says, whenever I realized I had broken the law and I was a sinner, I was doomed to die. Now, see, God don't tell us when we're going to die. He just says when you're a sinner and you learn this, you're doomed to die. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to live a long, healthy life, wouldn't you? Amen. I don't want to be sick. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead gave me the death penalty. Isn't that something? This law that God gave was good. It showed me that I was a sinner. And so by me now learning that God hates lying, and I know I'm a habitual liar, and I got to make it a choice at this point. Either I stop lying, or now that I've learned the truth, I'm going to start a process of death. When I learned that God does not like lying, if I continue to live there, I'm going to come up with some kind of a disease that's going to kill me. Just like so many young people today in church, you can see people in church all over the place, young people that are sleeping together, having sex out of wedlock, but nobody ever tells them that's going to bring forth death. And do you know, like Dr. James Dodson said here a while back, I forget what the percentage was, but it was way up there. Even in the church world, the number of church children that by the time they're 18 years old have had at least one venereal disease. Can you imagine that? We should never have a venereal disease. What do you have to do to keep from ever being afflicted with a venereal disease? no sex out of wedlock. It's real simple. You'll never find a man and a woman that keep themselves clean and get married and then have sex the rest of their life. Is venereal disease ever found between a man and a woman that kept themselves clean and pure? No. It ain't never. Never. You know, it just, isn't that strange that a man and a woman can be married and live their whole life together, and maybe they live 30 years together, and maybe the man's, they're 50 years old, and all of a sudden the man thinks, well, I didn't sow my wild oats, so I got to do a little wild oat sowing, now I got to find me a younger woman, and he goes out and runs around on his wife, and first time he catches a venereal disease. Isn't that strange? That happens, doesn't it? Sure it does. All the time it happens. And then you have to have surgery or whatever to get rid of that. And then your body ain't never going to be the same. Never. You know, chances are God is not going to restore your body back like it was. You know, you're going to suffer with those things the rest of your life. All because you were doomed to die. Now, if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy to heal you, you would have died. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead it gave me the death penalty. Now then, let's go to sin took advantage of the law and it fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. Is that what law does? Sure it does. It's exactly. But still, the law itself is holy and it's right and good. I mean, it's just that almost nobody can do what it says. If it come from God, it's right and it's holy. If God says, I hate lying, then why should we lie? We shouldn't. If God says, I hate divorce, should there ever be a divorce in the church? No. But, you know, we're hard-hearted creatures, aren't we? You know, we just do all kinds of stupid things, but God says, I hate divorce. So a man and a woman that are both Christians that know Jesus, they should be able to work out their situation. You know, if you're a man or a woman and you can't get along with the other one, you know, according to God's rule, under the new covenant, if you leave your spouse and both of you are Christians, you know, you're never to remarry another person under no conditions unless you decide you want to be married, you go back to the one you left. That's God's rule. Do you know that? That's what the Word says. Anybody know that in 1 Corinthians 7? That's what it says. Now then, what if you do divorce somebody? And what if you can't live with them and both of you are Christians? Can you ever, legally, can you ever marry again? Sure you can. Are you free? Yeah, you're free. You're free, and you can, if you divorce a spouse and both of you are Christians, you can remarry. But when you do, you break God's rules. Is that right? Then you need to call upon His mercy. Do you know that? How many people do you know that are Christians that have been, that one of their mates is still living, that they're remarried? A lot of us, you know. And are we breaking God's rule? Yeah. Now, some of us, our mate was not a Christian, and we divorced them, or they divorced us. And when we did that, then did God still want that to happen? Nope, He didn't. But do we break His rules? Yep. He said not to lie. How many people do you know that's Christians that never told not one single little lie? You know anybody? Nobody, Tom. There ain't nobody somewhere along the line. You did something, and most of us hadn't just told one or two little ones. We've told some pretty big ones, haven't we? But was God merciful to forgive us for those? Yes, He was. Now then, if He's merciful enough to forgive us for that, if we're not under the law, can He forgive you if you get a divorce and remarry? Yes, He can. Does He want you to get a divorce and remarry? No. He does not. But you know, there are just some people that just appears they can't live together. You know that? Unfortunately, sin took advantage of the law and fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. And who knows? You know, if you divorce and remarry three or four times or five times, it may be costing you a little bit of your life every time you do that too. You know that? God might have had your life set apart for 95 years of good health, But because you disobeyed, you only made it to 65. Or maybe 45. You know, that's just like the Lord spoke to me. I won't give this man's name, but this man was a great man of God. He done some great things for the kingdom of God. And I was reading about this man one day, years ago. And as I read, I'm talking out loud. I said, Lord, what a great and awesome man. I mean, what he did for your kingdom. And the Lord spoke to me audibly. And he said, but I had to take him out prematurely because of his sin. I thought, what was that? It was years later when I was sitting at a dinner table with another man, and a man was talking about that man and about something his wife had read about that same man and something this man did that cost a lot of people their lives. And when he said that, I thought, that's what the Lord meant. I said, I didn't know that man did that. He said, oh yeah, when he did that, it cost a lot of people their life. That sin, because of that sin, that's what God meant when he told me years before. Yeah, you think when you read what he done, he was a great and awesome man. But in my sight, because of what he did and how he broke my rules, I had to take him out prematurely. In other words, I killed him. If we've walked in some kind of sin and we're at a point where we're not afflicted yet, although, well, I'll tell you, for one of the things, this lady that I'm, one of these days I'm going to get her out GLC with me, but this lady couldn't go the last time we went, but this lady was already in a wheelchair, and she had been sinning with a man after her husband died, and over a few years she was having sex with this man just once a month. And when I got her to repent, God was so merciful to that lady that day. Obviously he reset her time, because here she'd been in a wheelchair for a few years and she'd been weak a couple more years. But after she repented for her sin and I prayed for that day, God forgave her and restored her, and she got out of the wheelchair and walked off. And today, 5 years later, she's still walking totally in good health. She's about 70 years old now, but in great health. But 5 years ago, she's in a wheelchair and not able to walk at all because of her sin.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.